Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has offered farmers and ranchers a strategic consulting approach to manage both marketing opportunities and risks utilizing the latest technology. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
And for today, that's Morning Edition here on WILL AM 580. I'm Jay Pierce. Thanks for listening. Dave Dickey joins us now with our opening commodity market report.
Thank you very much, Jay, and good Thursday morning, everyone. Let's check how prices fared in the resumption of trading. We gave the overnight opens at 8:49 Central Time in Kansas City. May wheat opened at 5:58, up 3 on the open July, 5:67, up 1. At the board of trade, May wheat opened at 5:12, up 4 on the open July, 5:24.5, up 3 and 3 quarters. December, 5:73.5, up 3 and 3 quarters on the open. May corn opened at 3:89.5, up 3 and 3 quarters on the open July, 3:99. 9.5 up 3.25, December 4:21.5 up 4 on the open. May beans opened at 9:57 up 6 on the open. July 9:52 up 6. November 8:87 up 7. January 2010 8.98 up 8 on the open. May soybean meal opened at 2.96 up 1.70 on the open. July 2.90 up 1.40. May soybean oil opened at 33.60 up 23 on the open. July 33.93 up 26. April live cattle opened at 84.65, up 2.5 on the open. March feeders, 93.60, down 15. April lean hogs, 60.80, down 45. And May bellies, 86.90, down 110 on the open. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 77.85 is up 35.84. The NASDAQ is, well, let's check on that. The S&P 500 at 818 is up 4.78. And if I can click in here and get the NASDAQ for you, the NASDAQ is trading at 1553, and it's up 24.06 points. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Sue Martin of Ag and Investment Services. She is in Webster City, Iowa. Good morning, Sue.
Good morning, Dave.
Thanks for coming in and helping me out this week. Dan Zwicker on vacation down in Texas today.
Oh, I hope he has good weather down there.
I understand he's down there buying some feeder cattle, so good luck for him. Let's go ahead and look at the markets. Take this week as a whole, the trade we've seen thus far, Sue, and let me ask you this. Is the market trying to tell us anything?
Well, I think that we've had such a nice move up in prices in the whole grain complex, especially corn and soybeans, since the 2nd of March when we put a low in, and I believe that was our winter low. So we've had a nice reprieve up in the prices. We've seen a 6.18% retracement in corn and beans, right to the penny on the May and July beans as well as in the corn. And so 6.18% retracements tend to give you more of a resistance or a hesitation than a 38% retracement will. And so the market hit that. We'd had a $1.42¾ move up in beans. And I think, you know, we have to look at last year, and you had an outside range year, and it would take a pretty big thing to make this fundamental or whatever to make this market go up and look at the highs of last year and take them out. So then you have to ask yourself, so are we going to look at the lows of last year? And of course, the environment is not as friendly this year as it was in the first half of last year. So I would have to say sometime this year, yes, we're going to look at the lows of last year. So consequently, we've had our winter break. We felt we would get the winter break on a more traditional basis, and we feel that that low is in, and now you've got to say, okay, what's next around the corner? And it's a spring high, and so on a traditional basis. And so if we're not going to be able to come up and take a look at the highs, which is over $16 on beans, then you've got a lot of time here to deal with. The market moved a little too fast. It has to hesitate. You've got a government report that's very important at the end of March here. And so it's the March 1st stocks on hand and all positions report, but even more so the acreages. And so I think the trade is looking at that and saying, okay, we need to keep an eye on that. And so at the end of a month and end of a quarter, you're going to get some leveling of positions a little bit and some profit taking, and I think that's what we've seen.
So I haven't made any new crop sales, haven't made any at all, either soybeans or corn at this point. And I'm looking at that report just around the corner, and I'm a little bit nervous. What do I do?
Well, I think if you want to make and get started, you could maybe make some new crop sales here. I'd probably say only do about 15% because we do think there's something better here yet down the road here as we go through the spring. And so I would say, you know, go ahead and maybe make, you know, a 15% sale here on new crop for November beans and December corn. You know, your corn's at 420 and a quarter today. But beyond that, I think I would hold up a little bit.
You want me to make that in cash?
I would do that in cash, yes. I would work the cash. What I would do is I would probably do, if it's new crop, you know, the basis isn't going to be sweet anyway. So I would probably do hedge to arrive at this time for the new crop.
All right. Let me ask you this. As you had hinted that better times are potentially ahead, what makes you believe that, and what indicators do you look at to judge that?
Well, we utilize timing indicators. That is one thing we really pay attention to, and we utilize three different forms of timing. And we talk about those on our website under the definitions, but you know, one of them works on a percent, doesn't go to zero, and doesn't go to 100%. That is one of them, and we look at those on long-term basis. We look at another one is cyclical timing, probably the next two are forms of cyclical timing. Some is reactionary dates and within the market, and we've talked about those in the past over a long period of time, the years that I've been on your station, and we look at those, and those also will at times not only be a reaction, but they can be tops and bottoms as well. And then, of course, the more critical timing that we look at is what we call natural cycles that do perform over and over with a good consistency of accuracy or good consistency, more times than not, of a good indication of what the market's going to do. And we take that and we put in with it what the market does in a year typical of fundamentals like a year like this one. And then we look at those markets and do patterning and commingle them in with the timing. And that's kind of how we come up with our attitude or our ideas.
All right. Apply those principles that you just talked about to the U.S. dollar. And what are you seeing?
Well, the U.S. dollar is higher this morning, was lower earlier, not by much, and now is up 236 points or 23.6 on the cash index at 84.047. I believe that the dollar has support around the 80 mark, maybe 81, right in there. There's good support on that. That's a trend line from the lows that we had seen here in the past 6 months of on the dollar index. You know, with all the dollars that are being printed, you know, the Fed, it's like an Eiffel Tower ascent. And anybody who's seen Glenn Beck, you know, they've had the graph on there, but it's featured off of the St. Louis Fed. And I have to say that anyone who has seen that would have to say, okay, you know, we all know Eiffel Tower ascents don't last. And so what causes the Fed to quit printing money? And see, this, it takes about 6 months, maybe 12 months, for that money to course its way through the system and get to the consumer and that type of thing via through loans or whatever. And what would cause the Fed to quit printing money? Right now, they sure haven't stopped printing money because they keep spending tremendous amounts of money, probably almost mind-boggling. But we also have to remember that we're not in the same kind of economic era that we were back in the 20s or back in the 50s. You know, so when we talk trillions, that might be where we ought to be talking for this day and age. But regardless, we're printing so much money, and the whole world's in the same ballpark together. And so I fear that what we're headed for, rather than a deflation or depression, is that we're going to go into an inflation. And we almost maybe need some inflation to bring back up some of the values of these homes so some of these toxic loans get spun off and the government doesn't take such a hit on them, and maybe that's how we come back out of this. In the meantime, what happens if we get into, you know, where we've tried so hard to stop from anything happening like the 20s, like 1929 through 1932, so all of a sudden you get that extreme boomerang effect on the other side, and now you have something that we have never seen in this country, hyperinflation. Maybe if you want to go look at interest rates back in early 80s, late 70s, early 80s, being up around 20-some percent, yep, that could have been a feel of hyperinflation. But hyperinflation to me is when you go to the grocery store in the morning, prices are at one level. You go in the afternoon, they've escalated again. The next morning, they've escalated again. Mm-hmm. That is hyperinflation. And I fear that when economies start to settle down and turn, all of a sudden everybody's grabbing for the same things again, and you just can't get enough. And in the meantime, with what's been going on, we have been contracting because the demand in protectionism has contracted. We have then slowed down and contracted the output of commodities, and that is what will create when that demand hits. Okay. It'll create us to all of a sudden just take off, and okay, we'll see a hyperinflation.
Thank you. So we're going to continue this dollar discussion this afternoon. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
Sue Martin of Ag and Investment Services. She is in Webster City, Iowa.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD2 and HD3 Urbana.